Go ahead, Bill. Whenever you want. Welcome to Hammer Down! Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am your host, Tone Diggs. I am joined by the man who owns these offices, Pat McAfee.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not too shabby. I mean, almost hit a $71,000 parlay, but I didn't. So here we are. Could have cashed out at $19,000. Didn't. Could have cashed out at $12,400 and something just moments before they took the cash out option away. Thought Kyler Murray was going to get a win. He didn't. So we're in an interesting spot, Tone, but thanks for asking.
Also, we're going to touch base on that right now after I introduce Bubba Gumpino. Good day. He's the man who delivers the stats, the trends, the nukes. He is Bubba Gumpino. He is our Canadian friend.
Thank How you, are you, Tony?
Sir? And our NFL GM, assistant to the coaching staff of a team playing tonight, the New England Patriots, the GM Shuffle Pod, the Lombardi Line, the Daily Coach, and writes for The Athletic, Michael Lombardi. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What did we lose?
Okay.
What did you have for that big one?
All right. So, Paizan, listening to Hammer Down has its perks. You know what I mean? So, one of them is you get soccer bets from Gumpy that have, I think they've gone 4-0 the last 2 weeks or whatever.
Yes, sir.
So let me find this. So I had West Ham and
Union Berlin
on this 9-leg parlay. I had those two on there. I had Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin against Eastern Kentucky on there, just strictly because I like the way they're doing things down there in Texas. Ain't that right,
Diggs? Yep.
I also had on there, go ahead.
Tulane in North Carolina.
Bingo, which Diggs said he liked a lot.
5-1 on College Football Saturday. You're welcome.
Ooh. So that's what I feel like whenever people say things confidently for whatever reason, I can sense a little different heightened confidence. And whenever Gumpy said it and then Diggs said it, I was like, here we go. Stephen F. Austin, Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin. I like them. And then I put all four of my NFL picks, which was Titans,
Giants,
which, by the way, awesome. Shout out Danny Dimes. Then it was Arizona -3.5 and Bucks. Exactly. There it is. So I thought I had it all. And the cash out thing was sitting there staring me right in the face the entire day, because after Saturday, I had 5 legs down of the 9 legs. Like, here we go. We can really get this thing to go. And when I woke up Sunday morning, the buyout was already at like $8,000 or $9,000 or something. I'm like, oh shit, here we go. I'm making some real money today. Then after the early games, the Giants get a win. Cool. The Titans cover. Cool. Here we go. So now we're starting to cook. That thing got up to like a $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 buyout during that Arizona Cardinals game. $19,000 at one point. And it felt like to me, Kyler Murray was just going to do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. Tua plays it out. They pull back the cash out option. As soon as I would have probably hit it, we lose. See you later. 49 yarder at the second highest altitude in the NFL. Short, we lose everything.
Fuck, that's horrible, man.
It was. That's exactly right.
And he had told us in the chat that if Arizona covers, it most likely goes up to 30,000 on the cash out, 35, and then you were probably going to pull the trigger before the Bucs game started. Yeah,
even if it goes to 25, which I think it potentially would have, because it's like a deal or no deal type thing. I think I go before that Bucs game just so I can enjoy the game and know that I made 25,000. Now, granted, if the Bucs come out and do something that they didn't do and win that game, and I'm staring down $71,000, that would have been a heartbreaker. But I thought the Cardinals still were going to be able to cover, even though they hadn't gotten a stop all goddamn game, because Kyler was so good. That was a tough game.
Yeah, what'd you think about that game, Michael?
You know, I thought the same thing. I mean, I thought that they would eventually get control of it. I thought they early in the game, they were pressuring Tua. And then the second half, he made some real plays with his feet. He got out of some trouble, made some throws. And, you know, I thought that they were going to get control of it, because they were throwing the ball much better in that game than I anticipated. I thought it was going to be a run game for Kyler. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he would throw it that well and they would make that many plays. But, I mean, that's one they just gave away, I'll be honest. I mean, they outgained them. They did everything really well. They just couldn't close the game out. And they went for it on every fourth down except for that one.
No consistency, Mike. That's the thing with coaching is the biggest issue, I think.
And so I took the under in this game because Arizona was number 8 in points per play. Fucking Miami was number 2 in opponents' points per play. And these offenses, I mean, they weren't They were struggling a little bit, to be honest, and then they fucking came out on fire.
Tua looks so good. So now, granted, Kyler did as well. Kyler, his flick of the wrist goes 50-60. Right. I mean, Kyler has got an absolute little bit of a slow windup, though. I noticed that last night whenever I was living and dying with every single move. He's got an absolute
that outfield.
Yeah, he does. He has that whole thing. But Tua was surprised. I mean, that was that had to be the highlight of the weekend for you, Gumpy, is how good Tua looked. Now, granted, you win, but Tua looked unbelievable.
Absolutely. I mean, he was with his legs. I thought you said Mike. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
With his legs was the biggest thing for me. He took some hits, and Gailey dialed up a game plan that was actually different. I thought he was just going to keep rolling him out in shotgun. I mean, a couple of those runs where he got out of the way, I mean, he's the guy, man.
Tua's going to have to keep carrying that team, too, because we talked about on your show earlier how the Colts are 31 in yard per rush. The Dolphins are 32 in yard per rush. So it's going to be on Tua's shoulders, I think, here for the rest of the season. Michael, so they didn't let him throw in the first game. They let him throw in the second game. Did you see enough in the second game to think that he could be a guy going forward?
I thought what Gump said there was really important. I thought that they did a really good job of adapting the offense more to what he's good at doing. You know, they gave him a lot of quick throws. They gave him a chance to really make some plays with his feet. They moved him around quite a bit. You know, he looked like, A, as Brian Flores said, it wasn't too big for him, and he rose to the occasion. I mean, he made some people miss in the pocket. You know, I think he's going to have to deal with five-man pressures all the time, coming inside out on him, and because people are going to see that he's small, and he's going to have to prove he can play big. But I thought that was a huge step for him.
I mean, I thought he looked a little bit like a left-handed Russell Wilson yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he looked really, except that's a really good comparison. Right,
except for he didn't slide as much.
He likes getting hit, which is very worrisome. But they showed him mic'd up after taking a hit. He's like, I needed that. I love it.
He dove head first into two guys too. Yeah. I think one day late in the game there, he dove head first into some people. It's very interesting. He looked faster than he looked at Alabama. That was the interesting thing to me, because in the NFL, everybody's fast, right? Everybody's fast. They always say, like, oh, for Baker Mayfield, people say, like, in college, you might have been able to get the edge on that. In the NFL, you're not going to get the edge on that. Tua looked faster in the NFL than he did in college, personally, and that might have been a misread by me to begin with.
No, I thought the same way, too. I didn't think he was going to – I thought he was – nobody timed him coming out, so we didn't know what his 40 time was. But he wasn't Kyler Murray, but then he's not Baker Mayfield either. Like, he, like, got away from some people, you know, and I think that's critical because he took some hits, and that's the other thing that was great to see. He stayed up. He got up. Now he's going to have to do it. Now that he's on tape how he throws the ball, there'll be – the next three or four games, defenses will play him a certain way. Yeah. He's going to have to make the adjustment.
I think this is the first time in a couple of years he's actually been healthy, too. Like, even before that bad injury with Alabama, they were wheeling him out there, and he wasn't healthy. So
an ankle or something, right?
Yeah.
The last game that was in your nine-leg parlay was – we were all on it.
Jesus.
It was the – we are all on the Bucks.
That was bad, dude.
And then I texted the group. I knew we were fucked because – every single person from every single network took the Bucks, so that was an automatic sign.
Including us, by the way.
Including us, that the Saints were going to win that game. By the way, Vegas had an incredible day yesterday. Do you remember them off the top of your head? I think it was
4 out of the 5 top games that were bet on, like the number of bets lost. I know it was the Seahawks,
Steelers,
Texans, Steelers, and Bucks were probably in there as well.
Yeah, it was the 4 of the 5, yeah. and Vegas won all of those. Michael, what happened to the fucking Bucks, dude?
I have no idea. I mean, their offensive line in the last 2 weeks just looked like crap. And if it looks like that, that's not going to be good for Brady. That's not going to be good for Brady at all. I mean, they look like they had no rhyme or reason with their offense. Give Dennis Allen credit. And then offensively, you know, they moved the ball at ease on the Bucks. I mean, that defense did not look anything close to being the best defense in football.
Go ahead.
No, yeah. The interesting thing for me is, they were up 21-0 before the game even started, right? The Saints were up 21-0 before the game even started, and then they just continued to pull away. Bruce Arians just came out and said Mike Evans was open. He just wasn't targeted for whatever reason. It's like, oh, no. Is it already starting down there in Tampa Bay, Q Gronkineers? Is it already starting? Because this is, again, Bruce saying something, which I'm not saying Tom is against it or anything like that, but this is a statement that a conversation is going to be had behind closed doors about the decision-making. It's very, very interesting to kind of see the way this year has panned out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know, he might have been open, but I don't think Brady, in fairness to Brady, I think he had time to throw anything. I thought he was getting rushed a bit, you know. So he might have been open. I haven't watched the tape yet today, but I just felt like that their protection, they were in third down. They couldn't convert a third down. You know, he went to Gronk on the first third down. Mm-hmm. I thought that should have been defensive pass holding. And Jenkins pulled and tugged him, but they didn't get the call. And, you know, they couldn't make a first down the first quarter. They got behind because of their ineptness on offense.
First play of the game, he got punched in the face. First play of the game could have been roughing the passer.
Yep.
There's no slants or anything. Every drop back is a fucking Hail Mary. Like, he's literally just bombing the ball down the field.
Well, Michael, how do you think he feels about that they ran the ball five times. One of them was a kneel, so they ran the ball four fucking times. How do you think
NFL
record. How do you think Tom feels about that?
I mean, I can't imagine he can feel too good because he can't put that much pressure on the defense, on the offensive line. I mean, they got to have some way to run the football more effectively. I know they want to be in 11 personnel, but they got to have some good nickel runs, or they got to get into some 12 personnel and try to run the ball out of that. I mean, they're not going to, you know, if you're going to have him throw it 40 times, it's not going to be good. He's going to get hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is overreaction Monday. First game with Antonio Brown. It'll get better.
Oh.
I think it'll get better.
I mean, they're going into Carolina this
weekend. I think so, too. But you just did that little first game with Antonio Brown thing on purpose. Like, you, that's you why you did that. That's
what do you mean? You're thinking that I don't think he could already ruin the team that quickly. No.
No, I don't.
I mean, they looked like shit against the Giants.
Well, and then on the defensive side, it was wild. Levante David, I want to say two or three times, right as the snap was still going on, was still trying to communicate the defense to other people's, and they went at him because he was busy communicating the defense, and his guy got open.
Defense, they had a, and then when Sean came out with people moving all over the place and spots, they said, look, let's play a base front. Let's check it into two or three. Let's just check it and we'll see what they're doing. And then by that time, it was too late. I mean, they went vanilla and they really didn't run any of the stuff that they wanted to run because they were just trying to get an understanding. You know, he's got the halfback out. He's got the tight end in here. He's moving all people around. And if you don't understand in football, there's really only two formations. There really is only two formations in the NFL or in college. It's either 3-by-1 or 2-by-2. Now, where Sean Payton makes a great living is that those 3-by-1s are different. It's not three receivers to one side and one to the other. He's got all different combinations. And so if you're trying to disguise your coverages and you're putting the backer inside because he's got Kamara in the 3-by-1 look, you know, now Breeze is reading your mail and you're done. So he starts moving people around and displacing them in 2-by-2 or 3-by-1, and he ends up getting you. And then you say, okay, look, just to settle everybody down, let's just play some basic stuff. And then when you go basic, he's got you in checkmate.
I mean, the Saints literally tried to give the game away to the Bears the week before, up and do this.
They had a harder time beating the Bears than they did beating the Bucks. Think about that.
And the Bears are – that was – we were on the – some of us, Pat and I think it was just Pat and I, were on the Titans this weekend.
Ooh, good cover. What if he goes for two there at the end? That was part of my $71,000 parlay.
I'm surprised he did not go for the analytic go for two, you don't get it, blah, blah, blah thing, which I'm pretty sure you're not a fan of, Michael, but I'm surprised Nagy didn't do that.
I mean, look, Nagy's got all – he's so busy looking at his playlist, he can't figure out what he's going to do next. I mean, he had 12 first downs. He got 12 first downs in the fourth quarter in that game. Like, did you see – he complained about the penalties that they're starting in the hole. His first six drives of the game, he had no penalties. Three of his drives, he accumulated 11 yards. In three of the first four drives, he accumulated 11 yards.
Oh, I immediately thought of you yesterday. There was a – I don't know if it was a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1.
And he didn't get it.
But, yeah, of course – well, there's a couple of those that he didn't get. But he tried getting cute. He tried doing a fake toss trap with a fullback, and it got fucking shoved up their ass. And I immediately thought of you.
I mean, he'd rather run a triple reverse to get a half a yard than just kind of, and I'm telling you, Matt Nagy was the kid that if there was a bully on the way to school, he'd walk three blocks out of the way so he'd avoid the bully.
Well, his face would be stuck in his play calling sheet. He couldn't see which way to go.
Is this a bully?
Don't get started on FaZe. I mean, that poor guy, you know, those poor Charger players, they're all taking the heat for it. You know, you're supposed to make the play. Like, come on, seriously, give him a better.
How can you not roll Herbert out on one of those plays?
I have no idea.
But hey, like, Tom, the Bucks did fades too. Hey, the Bucks ran a bunch of fades down there too. I haven't seen as many fades as I seen yesterday in the NFL down the
play that no one can stop. And Julio ran it yesterday. The play no one can stop. Jerry Rice ran it. Must have of Jerry Rice's touchdowns, I would say 50% of them came on what we call Colorado, which is you run a slant, and as soon as you get to the top stem of the slant, you take it back out, right? And you got to have really good hip control. You've got to be able to plant and redirect. So it requires a good athlete. But no one can stop Colorado. No one. Because everybody plays that slant, and they jump that slant, and you're breaking out. Go back, watch Julio's touchdown. It was Colorado.
It was wide open.
You can't be stopped.
It's what Edelman caught against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Of course he did, because we knew they couldn't change direction. We knew that if we ran a straight line speed route, that it was. And, you know, Colorado, that was big, because we needed to run that. Any redirection by Seattle's secondary was going to create problems. But nobody runs Colorado anymore. It's one of the best pass plays in the red zone. Nobody runs it.
Oh, and all your help inside means absolutely jack shit. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that corner is taught to press hard on that thing. And you're going to either get a pass interference because he's going to get in the way when you're coming back out of it, or you're going to get a touchdown.
Well, and they're already playing with inside leverage, so he's going to jump in even more than you are. Antonio Brown used to make a living off of that route as well.
I mean, it's the greatest route of all time. I mean, people just make a living out of it. But unfortunately, I don't know what they're doing. I mean,
you know, it's really unstoppable.
It's a class. Loose games. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you know what's unstoppable is when you have your quarterback in fucking motion. That play by the Chiefs, we talked about it a little bit earlier. That was awesome to watch. It's like, of course, Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes in motion before the play gets in, and then a drag. I mean, it was unstoppable, that play.
It really is so creative, and he's so smart with it. I mean, and that creativity with his talent. I mean, they had the ball 21 minutes yesterday. That's all they had, and they had 400 yards.
My favorite thing about Andy Reid is, like, he's obviously great offensive coordinator all over the field, but it seems like his creativity comes out inside the 20 because he knows that's where the game is won and lost.
Right, because you know why down there? You need misdirection, because you need to separate the defense. You need to go this way, come back the other way. You need fake motion to come back. You need to confuse them, because if you don't displace them, there's too many people packed in an area. You got to move them out and create some spaces. He's smart about it, you know? I mean, they had the ball 3 minutes and 40 seconds in the fourth quarter and scored 14 points. The Panthers did exactly what you have to do. They dominated the fourth quarter, had the ball over 11 minutes in the fourth quarter, and lost. They still gave up 14 points.
I like that Panthers team, though, man.
Hey, Rhule seems to be a legit guy.
Like, I love Rhule.
I heard rumors about Rhule down at Baylor being like a hard ass. It doesn't seem like that. Like, it feels like his team loves him down there, Mike.
They really did. I mean, you jumped in that river down there. Did you ever? I mean, he had that program really going down there.
Oh, yeah.
For a guy from the Northeast to go in there, and he had the high school coaches in Texas loving him. He was recruiting like crazy. He was doing great.
I was telling Pat, I love that he's got a even though I know it counts as a turnover, but he's doing it at the right times. He is not afraid to trot Joey Sly out there and try from anything under 70.
Give him a go.
I mean, if that kid would have kept running, if Samuels would have kept running instead of going out he was trained to do, I think he gets another 10 yards. They might be able to make that.
But, I mean, people were going off about it on the internet. Give me a chance at a 68-yard field goal over a Hail Mary any day of the week.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like they may have the shortest wide receiver core in all of football too. So the odds of that, not great.
Hey, Christian McCaffrey, probably he looked like he was in a lot of pain with that shoulder yesterday.
I thought it was his ribs, but I guess it's his shoulder. I mean, he looked like he was hurting bad. That kid is one tough hombre, though, man. He breaks tackles. That first down he got over by their sideline, where he was tackled 4 yards short. How about Teddy Two Gloves diving for the first down like he did? That was a hell of a play. I mean, that was a great game plan by Matt Rhule, I thought.
I like that team. They're playing for each other. Like, if you're a Panthers fan, you got to feel pretty good. Drew Brees, who knows how much longer he has. Tom Brady, who knows how much longer he has. You have a team that probably for the next 5 to 7 years is going to be very good and only get older and grow together. You should feel – Atlanta's staring down a rebuild. I mean, you got to feel real good in Carolina.
It sucks.
And that's Brady's a good play caller now. He does a hell of a job calling plays. People I think he's really good.
It sucks McCaffrey's out because they open at +5.5 at home against the Bucs this week.
Yeah.
And we know about Teddy as a dog.
What is it?
18-3, maybe 19-3 now in his career as a dog.
Against the spread or straight up?
Against the spread. He's a covering machine.
Yeah, he is. You're goddamn right he is.
One last question
before. Unlike Kyler.
Yeah, unlike.
Oh, shit.
One last question.
$5,000 probably, Paizon.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible. And, you know, the thing that killed you in that game was Arizona was the best red zone defense going into the game, and they just were horrible in that game in the red zone.
Hey, Isaiah Simmons had 4 tackles, though, so.
At least he was out there.
Preston Williams is finally catching the ball, and he gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Chan Gailey did a really good job. Now, again, you know, that's one game. I think Tua's proved it. Now he's just got to keep building off of it because they're going to challenge him. I mean, one thing about that game, Vance Joseph was determined to come after him. He didn't give it. He was going to blitz him no matter what.
Which I respect, by the way, because if you listen to any OG defensive player, they're like, if you have a rookie quarterback, you just bring it.
That's what Jared Allen said on the show.
Bring it, bring it.
Blitz him till you die.
He did. He kept bringing it, and they just didn't tackle him in the hole. But I think he's going to see a lot more of that this week.
All right, before we get into tonight's games, I want to look at – I love when we do the look-ahead lines to see if we like anything from –
This is a good time to make money if you're listening, by the way.
Yes, it is, because the lines – they are where they are. They haven't moved yet. Michael, I know you've looked at them already. Do you have any games this upcoming weekend that you're looking at early?
Well, I mean, look, the Tennessee game opened up. Tennessee was -2.5, and it's already down to 1.5, and it soon could be down to 1. So there was some early money coming right in there on Indianapolis. Early money. And Indy only had 18% of the bets, and the number moved. 18% of the money, and the number moved quickly. You know, Tennessee got by playing. You know, they were able to get away with the defense and do that. You know, so that line really moved quickly. And then the other line that moved real quickly was Cincinnati-Pittsburgh. It opened at 10 and it went down to 8. Now it's at 7.5.
That makes I think you know and I know that Burrow's going to give that secondary some issues if they can block for him.
That's right. That's going to be the challenge. Can they block for him?
And they can't, right?
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay opened at 14. It went down to 13.5 right away against Jacksonville. But I don't know if it'll stay there. And then Cleveland, Houston. Cleveland opened up as a 3-point favorite. It went to 2.5. It's back up to 2-3.
I mean, I can tell you, I like the Browns early strictly because I know Houston, I believe, is the worst rushing defense or one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. Cleveland gets Chubb back. They get their right guard back, who is really good. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I think they're going to be able to run the ball against the Texans.
Good matchup for Cleveland. This is a really good matchup for Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if that number starts to creep over 3.5.
What about the thing about the Cardinals -1.5 at home against the Bills, Mike?
You know, I mean, look, I think the Cardinals, the Bills were an anomaly yesterday in terms of how well they threw the ball. You can't predict with what he's going to do in terms of his accuracy, Josh Allen. But my instincts tell me Arizona looks like a pretty good play. Opened at 1. It went up to 1.5. It's at 2 in some books right now, 2.5. At the Westgate, it's 2.5. At Circa, it's 2.5. And it opened up at 1.
Pat, you were looking at. Do you like any?
Yeah, I was just kind of scrolling through here. You know, the Chargers are getting 2.5 in Miami. I feel like
that's tempting, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're going against us again.
Look, I think the Chargers will move the football on them. I think they'll move the ball.
And I like Herbert a lot. And anybody who will act like this isn't a big game, you know, Herbert and Tua. It feels like. I don't know. I'm not betting against Tua again, especially this early, one day after him, you know, kind of screwing me out of like 25 grand, 30 grand. I won't do that. That one feels good to me.
The Raiders against the Broncos going to the Raiders. The Broncos have been absolutely blown out in the first three quarters of their last two games. They've come back.
It's unbelievable. I mean, Drew Lock can't. Drew Lock's like Mariano Rivera. He's a relief pitcher. He comes in the late innings and he gets 4 points the last 2 weeks.
Well, he's dealing with more simplistic looks, I assume, when they're up that.
Yeah. I mean, now there's a game where Atlanta scored in the fourth. If Atlanta didn't score in the fourth, some of these teams that take their foot off the gas just kills themselves.
Raiders are 5-1 their last six against the AFC West too. Oh,
Raiders are good, dude.
Yeah, I like the Raiders. Seahawks getting a point and a half against the Rams, and the Vikings -2.5 Monday night against the Bears.
I think the Vikings are playing way better than the Bears. I think the Vikings are a good team right now.
Very good.
Hey, Dalvin Cook is unbelievable.
Really good. Yes. I mean, we should have been all over that one. You know, that was one I regretted. I should have been on Minnesota. Detroit, all that bullshit about them. The Detroit camp, I mean, the Minnesota was – at some point we got to figure out who's playing better, and it doesn't matter who they play. Like, I thought Indy was playing better, but it mattered who they played. Whereas Minnesota's playing, I mean, you beat Green Bay, that's a good win right there. Mm-hmm.
You think Matt Patricia's going right back to New England?
No.
Huh. All right. Why not?
I don't know the answer, but I know there's a follow-up there.
Yeah, is...
I don't know why. Well, I mean, because if he comes back in there, you've got, he's already got
his son,
Gerard Mayo, and he's got Steven Belichick running the defense. So where does Matt fit in with that?
True.
Go ahead, Mike.
Matt was there. He with Steven. I mean, he's not going to come in and work for Steven. Steven worked for him. You know what I mean? It's a little bit kind of a – I don't know what that would what would happen.
Giants getting 4 at home against the Eagles, too. Giants are 21-7, their last 28 against the spread, I believe.
They're better, too, now. Look, let's see how they are.
They play hard. They have played hard every single week,
man. I love that team. Joe Judge jumped on a fumble in the rain, in the mud, in training.
Hey, look how he had. I mean, here's where you know the Golden Tate thing happened, and no one bitched about it. That tells you he's getting the teams behind him.
That is
oh,
true.
Oh yeah, that I didn't true, even yeah. think about that.
You didn't hear. Joe Judge made a comment, and then that was the last.
What did Joe say?
But we won't have that, basically.
And then they didn't take him to the game, and nobody was saying, oh, I miss my man. They all just kind of went on with it, you know? Huh. They handled it, and so that tells you that the locker room is behind them, to me. Whereas if that would have been in Detroit with Patricia, you would have heard a lot of bitching.
Yeah. That game that you're talking about, the G-Men and Washington football team, the total was 42.5. It went 43. The total tonight right now is 42.5. That game is the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. 9.5 is the spread. The Patriots are the favorite. I got no fucking idea what I'm doing here.
I feel good.
Okay, Michael, you have the ring. Who would you like to hear from first?
Pat feels good. Let's go, Pat.
Yo, under. Let's go. The way Billy Belichick's going to play this, he's going to make it a slow game. It's going to be a boring game. It's going to be a stupid game. It's going to be a game people are not going to want to watch. I don't think anybody scores in this. I think this is an under game.
Yeah.
And I'm not pumped up about it. I only do this because I make picks on this show.
Okay? Yeah, you do.
I don't want to. This would be a lean, but yes. I am making a pick here. I'm going with the under, and I am just going to embrace the suck that comes from the game tonight and the internet being pissed off about it.
I will enjoy the under with you right there.
Let's go, Paisan.
Any points? I mean, I think this is too many. I don't think New England's better than 9.5 points against anyone, but I'm going to go under here.
Gumpy, can you give us some nukes on why we are all taking the under tonight?
Hey, that's what your bet is, too?
Yeah.
Let's go, boys. Let's add one to the winning call.
Under is 7-1 the last 8 meetings between these teams.
Boom.
Under is 4-0 the last 4 meetings in New York.
Boom.
Under is 4-0 in Patriots last 4 Monday nighters.
Boom.
Under is 4-1 in Patriots last 5 games as a favorite.
Boom.
In the last 21 games, the Patriots as a road favorite, the under is 15-6.
Boom, 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 boom.
There we go. We're down under.
We are down under. Hey, it's going down.
Look at us.
Hey, Michael.
I'm taking the Jets +9.5 as well.
I think that's look, I'm a Patriot fan, but I really, there's no reason why they're a 9.5-point favorite against anyone.
I agree with both of you, but it's just hilarious because how the times changed. 2 weeks ago, you're like, I will never bet against Bill Belichick, and now you're betting against Bill Belichick against Adam Gase.
Which is another team I said I would never bet on. Things have gone sideways, okay? I lost 71,000 yesterday.
The Patriots are beat up, though. The Patriots
are yeah.
They don't have – they have a bunch of this is going to be a lot of practice squad guys out there tonight.
Patriots are 2-5 against the spread. Their last 7 in New York, too.
Oh, yes! Boom!
Home team, 7-3-1 against the spread their last 11 meetings.
Hey, and all I'm going to say is, like, it's not the best matchup tonight, but just enjoy. Just enjoy the hilarity. Enjoy Joe Flacco. He's going to do some weird things.
A lot of pass interference is coming, I think.
Give me a 9-6 game. 9-6. 12-9.
I would love that.
We just got to learn about all that leverage by the defensive backs. Take notes on that.
Hey, hold on. Yesterday I saw, on that note, I literally, for the first time in my life, I was like, oh, where's the run force right there? There you go.
That's what we need to know. There's going to be a lot of run force tonight. I can promise you that.
Michael.
The edge, but we won't know who's on the run for. There's going to be a lot of run force tonight. I can promise you.
Michael, is run force the same as run fit?
Run fit is for everybody. Run force is the player that gets the ball to bounce where it needs to go. Where is he forcing the ball to, inside or out?
Run fit is don't zig whenever you're supposed to zag, right?
Remember, run fits are about vertical and horizontal. They're not just horizontal. So if you run up the field and you're in the A gap and that's your A gap, and the guy who's in the B gap stays stagnant, then there's that hole and you've created your own hole. So you're not fitting the run.
Listen, if you see a hole, the running back sees a hole, and you fit that hole.
You know, I played running back for the scout team.
Wait until you see the back, and then you got to know where the force player is going to, so you force it to that player.
Those running backs, the amount of vision you have to have is...
It's all instinct, though, Pat. When their mama lifts them from the crib, they got to have it. It's just amazing. They just see it. They can't tell you why they do it, but the great... Like, this kid at Jacksonville is a great running back. He sees it now. That kid's real... Right now, he's a really good back.
Jack Luton.
He was dealing yesterday.
Jack Luton looks a little bit like Jared Goff. I don't want to say nothing. He's a lot cheaper, but he looks like him. He's got an arm. He moves.
Michael,
why the Texans punt there, Mike?
Oh, there it is.
What fucking Romeo Crennel, we were told when they blew that game to the Titans and they went for two, that we play to win fucking football games. And then you're on the 35-yard line, 4th and 6, first down wins the game, and you punt it into the fucking end zone. And don't cover is my biggest issue.
Yes, I agree.
Let them know.
Hey, especially you go for the win because you know Jake Luton's fucking coming down.
He's coming slinging.
Jack, what?
Here he comes.
Hey, he was not bad in college.
I thought he was good. I thought he was good yesterday. I'm not making fun of him. I thought he was good. I think he's got an arm. He's got a live arm. I think his processing was good yesterday. I think he looks a lot better than Mason Rudolph, I'll tell you that.
Rudolph looks terrible. Gary Gilbert looks good.
Yeah, I mean, at least the ball comes off their hand.
How is Rudolph in the NFL, Mike?
He may be the worst fucking quarterback I've ever seen. In an offense that gets the ball out of Ben's hand in under 2 seconds, he holds the ball and has no clue where to go with it.
Right, because he's a 7-on-7 quarterback, and they don't run any real play action for him, so he can't really do what he can do.
He's the worst. If Ben ever gets hurt again,
Duck.
If Josh Dobbs doesn't come in, or Duck.
But
more importantly, Josh Dobbs ahead of Mason Rudolph. What was that, Mike?
I said, well, bring the Duckster back.
Yeah,
Duck, I'm on you. Let's get the Duck back in there because then at least we can quack and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I bet the Duck's got a few. Is the Duck on their practice squad?
Yes. Yeah, he is. And he'll win you a couple games.
He will.
He'll try, I'll tell you that right now.
And I know he's better than Mason because I watched it with my own two eyes last year. All right. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Hey, man. Good luck
tonight. Thank you.
He's on the under.
Yes. We all are.
And I'm on the under.
You're on the Jets.
And the Jets.
I wanted to. I just couldn't.
Sometimes you got to make a play.
I don't have the cojones.
Sometimes you got to make a play.
Sometimes you got to make a play. I know why you're doing it.
All of the money.
All the bets
are on the Patriots, though.
You want the ring,
my
friend.
The public is getting crushed.
Will you pull up the records? Pat took 2 picks tonight, strictly so he could go 5-2. And I don't know if it'll be better than Michael's 4-1. Is that what?
I don't know. That's going to have to.
I got
to
do the math.
You're going to have to figure it out. If I go 2-0, I am 5-2. If Michael goes 1-0, I'm 4-2 or 4-3, depending on he automatically wins. But if I go to 5-2 and he goes to 4-1, which is very possible, I can't wait to see how you fucking rule this. I can't wait. We're going to set a precedent, by the way, for this show.
Yeah, we are going to set a precedent.
Because that pinky ring is important to have around your goddamn pinky.
There it is. It's up for grabs tonight.
The dogs are barking this year, my friend.
What are you going to do if it's 5-2? and 4-1.
Well, I don't have to make that ruling until Thursday.
A lot of days to sleep on it.
A lot of days to sleep on it. Can't thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Keep sending in. Doing a great job. Sending your stuff to @HammeredDown on Twitter and Instagram. Gumpy's featuring all those. Awesome.
You guys I'm tired of people tweeting me about the losers I put out. Okay, tweet me about the winners, too.
Oh, yeah. And a winner's a winner. It doesn't matter if a guy saved a penalty in the 99th minute.
We don't care.
All that matters is it's Green Dot City, baby.
And by the way, we've said very clearly on this show, we give you soccer bets. Don't watch the game. It doesn't matter. Just check your account afterwards.
Set it and forget it, baby.
So if there's some bullshit, cheeky penalty kick that goes right down the middle and the goalie catches it and spits it out like Happy Gilmore with the thing, who cares?
Who cares?
We told you not to watch. A win's a win. Ain't that right, Gump?
We're blowing bubbles in the air.
I don't even know what that means.
Great movie. Sam. The Hammers. Great. It West makes United. Sense.
Why is Connor here? What's...
Connor, what do you
look, got? Man, okay? You bet against Bill Belichick last week, and he came down, and he broke that fucking hammer. And now you're going to come in here, and you're going to bet on the fucking champs of Monday Night Football. What the fuck? What the hell? Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? What happened? That's not going to happen. Do not believe this fucking bullshit. They will not lose 5 in a row. They will cover. I can't believe the gourd on you to fucking do that after last week. God damn it. With that being said, I also like at plus 9,000... Damian Harris to score a rushing touchdown and to score a receiving touchdown. 20 to win, 1,800. And if you bet on the fucking Jets, let me know, because you're fucking wrong and you're losing money tonight. Damn it.
What a promo.
Hammer.
Nah.